Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Imperialism. The Highest Stage of Capitalism is a short but influential work of Marxist political economy written by Vladimir Ilyich Lenin during World War I and first published in 1927. It is both a theoretical argument and a polemical intervention. Lenin aims to explain why the capitalist world of the early 20th century was marked by intensifying rivalry among great powers, colonial domination, and large-scale war. Building on Marxist analysis of capitalism, he argues that capitalism had evolved from a system dominated by many competing firms into one increasingly dominated by monopolies and powerful banks. In this new stage, the export of capital becomes more important than the export of goods, and the world is partitioned through colonies, spheres of influence, and agreements among major capitalist blocs. The book is designed to give readers a framework for connecting economic structures to international politics, and to clarify why Lenin believed imperialism was not a policy choice, but a systemic outcome of advanced capitalism. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from free competition to monopoly capitalism, a central topic is Lenin's claim that capitalism changes in character as production and capital become more concentrated. He argues that the earlier era of relatively free competition gives way to monopoly capitalism, where a smaller number of large firms and cartels dominate key industries. This shift is not presented as an accident or merely a legal phenomenon, but as an outcome of capitalist accumulation itself. Successful firms expand, absorb rivals, and raise barriers to entry while the scale of modern industry increases. For Lenin, monopoly does not eliminate competition. Instead, it transforms it into struggle among giants, including competition between national blocs backed by states. This change matters because it alters how profits are pursued. Monopoly positions allow dominant firms to seek extra profits, influence prices, and shape markets in ways that smaller competitors cannot. Lenin uses this framework to argue that imperialism is rooted in the internal economic evolution of capitalism, not only in diplomatic ambition. In his view, the monopolistic structure pushes capitalists and states toward expansion abroad as a way to secure markets, resources, and strategic advantage. Finance capital and the power of banks. Lenin emphasizes the rising dominance of finance capital, meaning the tight interconnection of industrial capital with banking and credit institutions. He argues that banks evolve from modest intermediaries into commanding centers that allocate credit, influence corporate decisions, and connect multiple sectors to ownership stakes and financial control. In this account, the fusion of banking and industry produces powerful financial groups that can coordinate investment and shape national economic priorities. The political implication is that the state increasingly serves the interests of concentrated financial power, since large-scale investment and national competitiveness become tied to these dominant institutions. Lenin treats this as a key feature distinguishing imperialism from earlier capitalist phases. International politics becomes intertwined with the needs of finance capital for stable returns, protected investment, and access to profitable outlets. The concept also helps explain why colonial and semi-colonial regions are drawn into unequal relationships, where financial power can impose conditions through loans, investment, and control over infrastructure or extraction. It can secure profits without relying only on simple trade. Lenin's focus on finance capital makes the argument a bridge between economic structure and geopolitical behavior. Thirdly, export of capital and uneven development. Another major topic is the shift from primarily exporting commodities to exporting capital. Lenin argues that in advanced capitalist countries, capital accumulates faster than profitable domestic opportunities, especially under monopoly conditions. As a result, capital is sent abroad to seek higher returns, often in regions with cheaper labor, abundant raw materials, or weaker competition. Lenin links this to uneven development. Different countries and regions industrialize at different speeds, creating persistent gaps in bargaining power. For him, this unevenness is not a temporary mismatch, but a structural feature of global capitalism that produces recurring tensions. The export of capital also creates long-term entanglements, as foreign investments require protection, predictable rules, and sometimes direct political control. Lenin uses this to explain why imperial powers pursue influence over territories and governments beyond their borders, while trade remains important. He argues that the investment relationship deepens dependency, because it can shape local economies around external profit needs and lock countries into subordinate roles. This topic is crucial to his broader claim that imperialism is driven by the search for monopoly profits on a world scale. Fourthly, partition of the world and inter-imperialist rivalry. Lenin presents imperialism as a period in which the world becomes divided among major capitalist powers through colonies, protectorates, and spheres of influence, as well as through informal domination. He argues that once most territories are claimed or controlled, expansion increasingly means redivision rather than first-time acquisition. This intensifies rivalry because the rise of new industrial powers collides with the older distribution of colonial holdings and strategic routes. In this framework, diplomacy, alliances, and arms competition reflect deeper economic conflict among capitalist blocs tied to monopolies and finance capital. Lenin connects this dynamic to the outbreak of World War I, treating the war as a struggle among competing imperialist states over division and control of markets, territories, and investment opportunities. The argument is not that leaders consciously follow an economic script in every decision, but that state strategies are constrained and pressured by the economic structure of monopoly capitalism. By portraying imperialism as a system of global partition, Lenin provides readers a way to interpret international crises as expressions of competition among powerful capitalist groupings, rather than as isolated national disputes. Lastly, political consequences, opportunism, and the labor movement. Beyond economics and geopolitics, Lenin draws political conclusions about class politics within imperialist countries. He argues that imperialist superprofits enable segments of capital to fund concessions that can stabilize social relations at home. This helps explain, in his view, why parts of the labor movement and socialist parties supported their own governments during World War I, rather than opposing the war. Lenin contends that an imperialist economy can foster opportunism, where reformist leaderships prioritize national advantage and incremental gains over international working class solidarity. The result is a split between revolutionary and reformist approaches, shaped by the material conditions of imperialist dominance. This topic is important because it shows the book's purpose is not only descriptive but strategic. Lenin is trying to clarify why anti-war and anti-imperialist politics requires confronting the economic roots of imperialism and resisting nationalist alignment with one's own ruling class. Whether or not readers accept all of his conclusions, the book offers an integrated view of how global exploitation can feed back into domestic political institutions, party strategies, and ideological debates about patriotism, reform, and revolution. In conclusion, imperialism. The highest stage of capitalism is best read by students and general readers who want a compact but conceptually ambitious explanation of how economic power can shape global politics. It is especially relevant for those studying Marxism, political economy, international relations, colonial history, and the origins and meaning of World War I. The primary benefit is intellectual. Lenin offers a coherent framework linking monopoly, finance, investment flows, and geopolitical rivalry, pushing readers to think in systemic terms rather than treating wars and global inequality as accidental or purely moral failures. Practically, the book also serves as a reference point for debates about how to define imperialism, how international competition relates to domestic class politics, and why anti-war movements may fracture. Compared with broader histories of empire, Lenin stands out for treating imperialism as an economic stage of capitalism, rather than mainly a cultural project or a set of national policies. Compared with many later theories of global capitalism, it is brief and polemical, yet it crystallizes concepts that remain widely discussed, such as monopoly power, financial dominance, and uneven development. Even readers who disagree can use it as a rigorous thesis to test against historical and contemporary evidence. If you would like to support Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.